Well, good evening. Good to see you here this evening. Welcome. My name's Nigel, one of the pastors here. And tonight we're starting a different series. Whenever we have communion in the evening over the next few months, we're going to slow down and home in on what are we doing when we share this meal? What does this involve? And to help us, to steer us to start off with, we're particularly going to use Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So it'd be really helpful if you find that in a Bible near you or on your mobile device. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and on the church Bibles that's page 1152. In fact, I'm going to read slightly differently to what's on the screen. I'm going to go from verse 23. So find verse 23. And we read this. Paul says this: "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" This evening, we're going to focus on just one part of that reading, and focusing in particularly on the bread. And there in the middle of verse 23, really, this begins. "The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Paul tells us when this happens, or when this happened, to start off with. It was the night he was betrayed. Jesus had assembled his disciples. He wanted to share the Passover meal with them. And the Passover meal was of huge significance to God's people. This meal that had been instituted there in Egypt just before they left, the great rescue of God to get his people out of slavery and bring them to the promised land. And as he did so, he told them to have this meal, this Passover meal. But on this occasion, on this night when he was going to be betrayed, Jesus makes a fundamental change to this meal. He took bread. He gave thanks for the bread. He broke the bread. And where a Jew would have said, "This is the bread of affliction, which our fathers ate," Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you." Now, Paul tells us this is what he's received from the Lord. Jesus has revealed this to Paul to share with the churches. But we can also see this in the Gospels, and so I've just put up here the three of the Gospels where this is recorded for us. So Matthew 26, while they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Mark, while they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it. This is my body." And Luke, he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." I'm going to draw out four things very briefly that we can think of whenever we come to this meal and whenever we share this bread. Four things. The first is this: there's one loaf, and it's a reminder that we're united as his body. The body through the New Testament is a metaphor for the church. It's one that Paul uses a few times. This picture of the church, we are a body, we are Christ's body. We're joined together. Just like your arm is connected to the main part of your body. So we're joined. We're one. And someone helpfully pointed out to me that quite often when we do communion here, we break the bread and we share it out and people eat it as they receive it. And then we give out all the cups, and at that point we remember we're one. But the Bible does it the other way around. The Bible actually says it's the bread that reminds us we're one, because there's one loaf. And so at the beginning of our communion meal, we have this one loaf. One. And Paul, writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, just before the verses that we just looked at, he says this in verse 17, because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. So there's something to remember when we come to the communion meal. There's one loaf. We're part of one body. We're united. Andy was absolutely right to get us to sit together. That's what we ought to do when we come to a communion meal. We're joining together to share in this meal. We're one. We're all equal. It's a unity in that sense. We're one. There's equality, all of us, sharing the same bread. We're united. We should strive to put things right between us before we come to this meal. You know, in the Anglican Church, they share the peace. You've been to an Anglican church and done that moment? Peace be with you, and also with you. And you go round and share the peace with each other. Now, there's something brilliant about that, and something cringeworthy, isn't there, I think? It's a brilliant thing, because it's acting out what we have in Christ, unity. Peace be with you. I'm not against you. You are not against me. We're at peace. But it's cringeworthy because it just seems so trivial, doesn't it? You sort of go around and shake people's hands, or if it's a bit more, you know, exuberant, you might hug or kiss on the cheek. Peace be with you. Offer each other a sign of peace. But church ought to be, in a real sense, we gather, and if there's something that's wrong between us, we've hurt each other in some way, we've said something, we ought to put that right. That's the distinctive of Christianity, isn't it? That's the gospel. Forgiveness. So peace be with you ought to be a real thing. And also with you. I forgive you. We are one. One loaf. One body. We are one. Something helpful quite often at communion times as well, we pray for one another. We pray for those who are suffering, particularly at the moment. That's helpful, isn't it? It's a reminder that we are one. We remember those who aren't here. This isn't about me. It's about us. We are one. One loaf. A reminder of our unity as his body. Secondly, the bread is broken. This is perhaps the clearest thing that comes through. The bread represents Jesus' body. That's what Jesus says. Jesus took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." And it's broken. When we come to this meal and we share this bread, we remember Jesus' death. He died. His body was broken. But his death wasn't meaningless, wasn't pointless. It was a substitutionary death. His death had a purpose. It was in our place. It was for us. He faced God's wrath. He took God's judgment. He was forsaken by his Father, so we don't have to be. So when we share this bread, we remember we need not fear death. Death is defeated because Jesus died. We need not fear judgment. We are forgiven because Jesus died. But that's huge, isn't it? He died. He, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, he died. We remember his death through the broken bread. Thirdly, one loaf is broken and then it's offered. Notice the words take, receive. We have it in 1 Corinthians 11. And Paul puts it this way. This is my body which is for you. In the Gospels it's the word take, it's offered. And it's a reminder of grace. Something that we just simply receive. We can't earn, we can't pay for, we don't deserve. We simply receive. And so as we serve each other, and that's what happens here when we have communion, isn't it? We've got tonight, I think, four people who are going to bring round the plates with bread on. But then we pass it down the row, and that's a beautiful picture of us reminding each other of God's grace. We give it to each other, and we receive it from each other. It's grace. Freely offered. Take. Receive. You don't deserve it, but it's offered. It's grace. The bread, one loaf, broken, offered, and fourthly, eaten. We eat. It's a meal. We come together to eat. Why do you eat normally? We never think of this, I don't think. You eat to stay alive, ultimately. We're so rich in the West, aren't we? We have so much. We don't think of meals in that way. We just have meals because that's what we do. But ultimately, we eat to stay alive. You've had those moments where you've not eaten and you're lacking the energy. And you need some energy. You need some sustenance. You need a boost, that mid-afternoon snack. And you're struggling at work and you just need something to... Well, maybe you turn to caffeine, but it's the energy from food that we need. Sustains us. So too, as we share this meal, as we eat this bread, as it's offered to us, we're reminded of Jesus' promises to sustain us in this life, through this life, through death, into life everlasting. And it's through his broken body that he does that. As we receive, as we eat, as we trust in his death, as we apply his death to ourselves, as we feed on it, he sustains us. I wonder which of those you need to hold on to a little bit more when you come to this meal tonight. Which of these do you need to think through, ponder, take in? One loaf. We're one body. We're united. The bread is broken. Jesus died for me. The bread is offered. It's grace. Undeserved. The bread is eaten. Now many of us take a tiny crumb, don't we? In some ways that's unhelpful for thinking of sustenance, but it's eaten, it's taken in. A reminder of his sustaining in this life and through to the next. Let me read these words. This is a catechism, is a series of questions and answers that Christians often use to try and understand some of the basics of our faith. This is taken from the Heidelberg Catechism, one of the more famous ones. Now these are brilliant but hard work to learn, and Christians in the past learned these. This is question number 75. Okay, imagine that. You've learned 75 questions and answers. Brilliant. This is number 75. The question is this. The question is there. How does the Lord's Supper signify and seal to you that you share in Christ's one sacrifice on the cross and in all his gifts? There's a bit of preamble and then we'll get to those bits. But it says this first of all. In this way, Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat of this broken bread and drink of this cup in remembrance of him. With this command, he gave these promises. First, as surely as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup given to me, so surely was his body offered for me and his blood poured out for me on the cross. In other words, I see this. It's something physical here. We share this meal. Look at this. We see it. And that helps us to know that just as we see these things, so Jesus really died on the cross. It's really happened. It's a real thing. Second, as surely as I receive from the hand of the minister or from one another and taste with my mouth the bread and the cup of the Lord as sure signs of Christ's body and blood, so surely does he himself nourish and refresh my soul to everlasting life with his crucified body and shed blood. Something tangible. I take this in and receive it. It nourishes me. And it helps me understand that this is what Christ does for me and my spirit through this life and into eternity. His bread, broken for me. So a moment of quiet, just to reflect on this, maybe taking one of those things. Perhaps, Neil, go back to the four from before. Is that all right? And just focus on one. One loaf united, broken his death, offered his grace, eaten his sustaining. Pick one of those and just ponder on that. Pray around that. Thank God for that.